Am I doing this episode?
Yeah.
Are we just starting?
This episode? Uh-huh.
Okay. What's up? This is Movies On Up, looking for a little action. I'm Dave. I found a lot of action with my co-host, Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, looking, I'd say you found it.
We are Movies On Up. The tagline this week, looking for a little action. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. If you are right and we pick you, you will win a glorious, majestic Movies On Up prize package.
Be looking in the mail for a Movies On Up prize package.
Yeah. Coming out this week, Winchester, where Helen Mirren's haunted by ghosts of people killed by her family's rifle, directed by the Spierig brothers, comes to theaters. So we thought, hey, let's do a Helen Mirren episode. We've already done haunted houses. We've done ghost movies. I don't know.
Helen Mirren was like the third option for this week.
Yeah. I didn't even think about haunted house movies, actually. I just saw Helen Mirren. It's like, ah, that'd be a fun one. So we're doing our Helen Mirren movies. I have my top five, obviously, and then I have like five also-rans. I like them all. Like, they're all movies I like. I don't
know. How many of them do you want to sit down and rewatch?
A couple. There's one that I've watched a ton and ton and tons of times. But yeah, she makes good movies, but none of these that I love or that are great, but she's competent. I mean, she's been...
Yeah, I would say she's more than competent.
Like, how long are we talking? Like,
when... Oh, God. I've got movies from the 60s.
She's still rocking it.
Well, maybe not that far back.
First credit I'm looking at is 1967.
I don't have anything that far back, but yeah, she's been doing it since the 60s.
And she's still a name. I think Helen Mirren's one of those. She's an Oscar winner.
Yeah.
Queen. I think she's one of those people know the name, but you may not be able to rattle off five Helen Mirren movies.
Some actors, it's easy. Like, what are your five favorite Tom Cruise movies? You know, Tom Cruise probably has more star power, quote unquote, than Helen Mirren. Doesn't mean he's a better actor, it's easier to identify Tom Cruise movies and list those off than it is Helen Mirren. This was a hard list for me to formulate.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm excited with where it'll go because I think her filmography is so different. This is one of those I'll be shocked if there's crossover.
There's a couple that I know are not going to be crossover. This is a lady that's one of Britain's treasures. You know what I mean? And like
Sir Helen Mirren.
The lady version of Sir Helen Mirren. And I'm going to feel like a real a-hole when I just start on my number five because really her career deserves better than this. I'm not trying
to. Until we get to my number five.
I'm not trying to say these are the five best Helen Mirren movies. They are not. By any stretch of the imagination, they are my five favorites. The ones that, if I was given a shelf of just Helen Mirren movies, these are the five I would pick out to watch.
That's kind of where I went to. And my number five probably would be the first one I would grab. But we'll start with your number five. Your number five best ever Helen Mirren movie
is from 1999. She starred opposite Katie Holmes and Jeffrey Tambor in Teaching Mrs. Tingle, directed by Kevin Williamson. Williamson.
This is Scream follow? Like he yes. burst on the scene with Scream and Dawson?
Yeah. Late 90s, everything I was watching, whether I knew it or not, was written by Kevin Williamson. He wrote Scream and the screenplays to I Know What You Did Last Summer and The Faculty. I don't love Summer.
Faculty is dope.
Faculty I really like, yeah. And Scream was great as well. And to this day, I am an unabashed fan of Dawson's Creek. I give zero shits. He brings Joey Potter along and directs his first feature here, sticking to a genre that he knew well, the teen thriller. Of all the movies that we mentioned before, Scream, even I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty, this is the worst of all of them. But those other ones are really good for the most part. And like I said, I was back then and still am a fan of The Creek. So I wanted to check this out because I knew Joey Potter was in it. And I thought, hey, this Helen Mirren lady I've heard a lot about. It turns out she's pretty good. She plays the titular Mrs. Tingle. And she's got kind of this knack for playing a stern instructor who earns the ire of her students. Maybe more on that later. For the most part, the rest of the characters in the movie weren't written that well. So it's no real surprise. It didn't really launch anyone. But it did have a couple really unlikable characters, one of which was my favorite, played by Helen Mirren.
Mrs. Tingle.
Mrs. Tingle.
This was one of my also-rans. This is one of those I left off because I thought it might make yours.
Sure enough.
If it didn't, I didn't care. But I would mention it as an also-ran. My number five, I would say, is probably even a lower point on Helen Mirren's filmography. From 2011, directed by Jason Winter, starring Russell Brand, Helen Mirren, Jennifer Garner, and Greta Gerwig. Oscar-nominated Greta Gerwig. It is Arthur. The remake of the Dudley Moore movie that never should have been remade. I like Russell Brand as a movie star. I always have. So I like this. This is a vehicle for him. Like this, get him to the Greek, hop. I was into that period of, hey, let's put Russell Brand in movies. It's not a good movie, but he's funny. I like Greta Gerwig on screen. I really, really like her. Helen Mirren's good. Your girl, Jennifer Garner's in it. Evil Jennifer Garner.
That's kind of my favorite Jennifer Garner.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a fun movie. Greta Gerwig was great as this like love interest, and I've loved her since this time, so to see her getting Oscar love, which we'll talk about in a couple weeks, is awesome. But if I'm flipping through and if it's on FX, like I'll put it on while I vacuum or something. Like so yeah, Sir Helen Mirren, good job.
My number four is also a bit newer, is from 2013, directed by Dan Scanlon. It's Monsters University, starring Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, and Helen Mirren. I will admit that I'm probably the only person in the world that likes this movie better than the original. I don't love Monsters, Inc., so maybe that's more the problem. I do think that this movie does suffer what I would call like the prequel conundrum. It's really difficult to write a prequel, especially one that's going to focus on characters that we already know. By the time this movie comes out, we are familiar with Mike and Sully. We like them as best friends, and it takes a minute to get there in this movie when Harry meets Sully. Mirren is again cast as this pain-in-the-ass teacher, Dean Hardscrabble, who I thought was a really cool-looking character. It is a reasonably formulaic college movie that I think does a great job of recreating things like pranks and frat parties, but doesn't rely on the adult humor, which could also be hard for somebody to pull off other than Pixar folks. They made a genre movie. It is a college movie, but without like the gratuitous tits and beer, which accompany most good college movies.
Yeah. I wish Monsters, Inc. had more tits and beer.
Doesn't everyone?
My number four, also another recent movie, 2011. Maybe eventually we'll get back into those 60s.
It's going to take a minute.
Yeah. From 2012, directed by Sacha Gervasi, starring Anthony Hopkins, Helen Mirren, Scarlett Johansson, Danny Huston, Toni Collette, Michael Stolberg, Michael Wincott, Jessica Biel, James Darcy. Hell of a cast. It is Hitchcock. Anthony Hopkins, one of the greatest ever. He's a legend of an actor. This is one of his better recent performances. He's phenomenal in this movie. And the whole movie is basically him and Helen Mirren toe-to-toe, and she's right there with him every step of the way. Maybe not as shiny of a performance because without the makeup, and she's not Alma Reville to the average person, isn't as iconic as Hitchcock, so she had a little less to work with than Hopkins, but toe-to-toe with them. Alfred Hitchcock and his wife during the filming of Psycho, they're kind of ready to retire. She's getting tired of how he treats his actresses. She does her own thing. It's really compelling, and it's really good, and it's just cool to watch these two heavyweights, these two legends, go at it back and forth in this classic telling of a movie that everybody's, you know, Psycho. So to see that, it's almost like a making of Psycho. It almost feels like a documentary, like a reality show where they're following the director home and everything. And it's really, really well done. And she's phenomenal in it.
This one's my number three, so I'll just keep talking about it. I think as much as Psycho is a Hitchcock movie, his wife was a very important part of not only getting that movie made, but even the production. He got sick, and she stepped in and directed a couple scenes in the movie that didn't happen to be the best, but she was integral to getting that movie made. And I think Mirren's performance, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, the movie is called Hitchcock, so if you're playing anyone other than Hitchcock, you're probably going to get a little bit less of the spotlight on you. But what I thought was important that they showed was, you know, that these two, despite not necessarily being on the same page in their marriage, they're very much a team making the movie. And I think that Helen Mirren's performance really echoed that. It is an Anthony Hopkins movie, but it's very much a Helen Mirren movie as well. She didn't get overpowered by Anthony Hopkins, which I think it would be easy for a lot of actresses to get overpowered by that gravitas there. So I think Helen Mirren brings enough to that role to be able to stand and, like you said, go toe-to-toe with him and match performance for performance. And I think everybody knows how much I enjoy Alfred Hitchcock, so this one was certainly always going to be on the list.
My number three, I think one of the better modern Helen Mirren performances. I mean, she was nominated for Golden Globe for it. I think it's, if you've paid attention to movies and you hear Helen Mirren, I think 2003's Calendar Girls by director Nigel Cole would be one of the first to come to mind. Look at it as kind of an old lady's Full Monty in a way. Full Monty was this great middle class factory workers go nude for a strip show to raise money. She wants to buy a sofa for her women's institute to commemorate her husband's death. So her and Julie Andrews and a bunch of old ladies decide we're going to do a nude calendar. And it's just silly. It's fun. It's one of those joyful British movies. And I feel like in the late 90s, early 2000s, we got Full Monty, Billy Elliot, this. There was just this rash of just joyful British movies. And that's the best way to describe them, is they're just delightful. They're just a joy. They're just fun. And this fits into that. Kiki Boots, another one. Like, all those movies are very, very similar, and I like all of them. But Calendar Girls stood out. It was the first one that came to mind when I was thinking of Helen Mirren. It is a fun, cute movie. It's a delight.
My number one and my number two are the first two movies that come to mind when I think of Helen Mirren. And I don't know that you can talk about her filmography without mentioning my number two. And it is 1979's Caligula, starring Malcolm McDowell, Peter O'Toole, and Helen Mirren. I understand the fundamental problems that folks had with this movie. It is the only feature film Penthouse ever produced. And it was the stated intention of Bob Guccione to release a studio caliber porn movie. And when you look back at the history of the actual characters of Caligula and Tiberius before him, you can see how their stories might lend themselves to pornography. However, it is easy to tell that story without having penthouse pets, having actual sex in the background, and force those scenes to be included in the final cut of the movie. From the very start, it always seemed like this movie was going to be a battle between Gore Vidal and director Tinto Brass and Guccione. Brass and Vidal both had their names taken off the movie because of Guccione's insistence of putting those scenes that I just mentioned, making sure that they were in the movie. I think Vidal and Brass wanted to make a good movie. And if you just look at the cast, it's obvious that people were trying to make a great movie. Between Peter O'Toole and Helen Mirren, they combined for 12 Oscar nominations. All three of the leads were really great in this movie, and they did, I think I'm not going out on too much of a limb, those are the best three performances you're ever likely to see in a porn. The problem with Caligula is that the movie has a bit of a split personality. It's never enough of a politically fueled movie to satisfy actual moviegoers, and it doesn't have enough of the gratuitous sex to satisfy someone who's just wanting that. So you're going to be disappointed or offended either way. If you could find a cut of the movie, maybe without all the needless sex, you'd probably be left with a well-made movie with some really great performances, and it would probably be well short of the nearly three-hour runtime.
My number two goes back to 1986, directed by Peter Weir, Mosquito Coast, with Harrison Ford, Helen Mirren, River Phoenix. My mother didn't watch a lot of movies with us. It was mostly me and my brother on our own. But if Harrison Ford put out a movie in the 80s or 90s, my mom was going to see it, and we had to go to the movies to see it with her because she wasn't getting a babysitter. So I saw Mosquito Coast in the theaters twice. River Phoenix, I have so many memories of him just on screen, not just in this movie, but River Phoenix is one of the greatest actors I've ever seen in my life. Like, watching him in his prime before he passed, like, that dude was amazing. Even young me was blown away. And Mosquito Coast is one of those. My aunt, who I always had to watch movies, she's the one that would take me and my brother to rent. I'd rent Gremlins, he'd rent The Last Dragon. Like, she was a Harrison Ford fan, so we'd...
Enter the Dragon, right?
Huh?
Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
Last Dragon.
Oh, Enter
which,
the Dragon.
I mean,
yeah.
I could totally see your brother running too, because that's awesome.
Yeah, Enter the Dragon. And she loved this one, so we'd have to watch this one a lot too when it came out on VHS. And it's just one of those movies, like, I don't remember a ton of it. I haven't watched it since the late 80s, but I remember Harrison Ford. This is peak Harrison Ford. Mid 80s, Harrison Ford is. He had this intensity about it. Like, he gets, yeah, he's Han Solo, he's Indiana Jones, but away from those, like, iconic roles, Harrison Ford was just a damn fine actor. You think of Witness and stuff like this. Like, when he just had stuff to work with, he was amazing. He was so much more than this fun character that he brought to life in those big epic movies. And I liked the smaller Harrison Ford movies a lot because he has this intensity that's phenomenal. And him and Helen Mirren and River Phoenix all just bring in the A-game in a really compelling story. Harrison Ford's a little nuts in this movie. He gives up city life to go create a paradise. That's the plot of this movie. And it's really, really interesting. And I like it a lot.
I like my number one a lot. And for those of you that are waiting on me to fulfill my promise from last week and drop another John Borman movie on you, wait no further. My number one is John Borman's Excalibur from 1981, starring Nigel Terry, Nicole Williamson, and Helen Mirren. I used to harp on this a long time ago when we first started the show. I had a 90-minute rule where if a movie was going to be over 90 minutes, every minute over 90 had better be damn fine and worth my time. But I have managed to put almost 6 hours worth of movie in my last two movies. In Excalibur, you've got kind of an Excalibur origin story, as well as the origin for King Arthur, the formation of Camelot, the search for the Holy Grail, and then there's a big-ass battle at the end of the movie. There's a lot of meat in here. I think this would be a fantastic, like, limited-run series to just show on HBO or something now. They would have done a hell of a job, but instead smashed it all into one movie.
Well, they just remade it this summer with Charlie Hunnam, directed by Guy Ritchie.
Which I actually have not seen yet, so yeah, maybe that's it. Connecting 95% of these stories are two wizards. Merlin, played by Williamson, and Morgana was played by Helen Mirren. Of the five movies that I have, Helen Mirren's the villain in three of them, my first two and this one. I think she does a fine job of that. I don't think people think of her in that villainous role, but I actually saw this movie before I saw Teaching Mrs. Tingle, but you couldn't have told me who Helen Mirren was at that point. I couldn't have picked out any actors from this movie, to be very honest with you, in the early 90s when I was watching the taped version from HBO. This is an epic in every sense of the word, and I think it kind of set the standard for all King Arthur re-envisioning since then. I don't think any have lived up to this. I mentioned that this is a movie that probably would have worked better as like a limited run series. Peter Jackson probably would have made a trilogy out of this movie. There was that much there. And I think it would have been better because it ends up, pretty sure it's about 140 minutes long. There's a lot of violence and sex in this movie. At the time, HBO had two versions. There was one that was kind of like kid friendly that they would run during the day. And then the one my dad taped that had all the tits and blood that they showed in the evening. So that's the one I watched. But either way, it's a really long ass movie to sit through as a kid, but it's a good one.
I came into this episode thinking we wouldn't have any crossover. Whoops. My number one is also Excalibur.
Hell yeah.
My movie taste mostly came from my brother Gary and my aunt Laura, who both passed away the same week a few years back. Whereas I had like Gremlins and Gary liked martial arts and action movies and stuff. My Aunt Laura liked fantasy movies. So when it was her turn to put on a movie, Excalibur was one of hers. It's one of the first fantasy movies I watched. And, you know, this led to Legend being a big movie with us, Lady Hawk. The first, like, memory I have of, like, being so excited to see a movie at the theater opening day was Willow. And I think it all starts with Excalibur. Willow's one of my favorite movies ever, probably top 10 ever if I had to list it. And that all comes from Excalibur because this was my introduction to this kind of world. And it's a hell of an introduction because it's really, really good. And we're 40-some years later. And I don't know that we have, you could probably count on two hands the amount of quality fantasy movies that are up there with Excalibur. You know, you have, Lady Hawk Legend.
Beastmaster. I'm a big fan
Beastmaster,
of that one. Conan.
God damn it. What is this? Your Highness.
That great sword and sandal film.
That's the one. That was all the setup for a Your Highness joke. And yeah. I forgot the name of Your Highness. But I absolutely love it. It's so good. Like, it still holds up.
It
like,
does.
It looks old.
Yes.
But, like, I think all of those. I think this, Lady Hawk and Legend, for some reason, in my head, those were all grouped together because those were Aunt Laura movies. those were movies that we had to watch when it was Aunt Laura's turn to, you know, we'd watch Gremlins and Enter the Dragon over and over all day. And then when she'd get home from work, all right, time for Excalibur, Lady Hawk, or Legend. And I just have really good memories attached to this movie. Did you have any also-rans?
The only one that I didn't put on there was Red. I legit do like that movie. It's entertaining.
I wanted to. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
State of Play she shows up in. I like State of Play. Raising Helen I put on there just because I miss Kate Hudson as like a movie star. I miss Kate Hudson rom-coms. She was really good. One that was really, really hard to leave off, The Pledge with Jack Nicholson. That movie is good. That movie is really, really good. And then probably one of her best performances, The Madness of King George. She's amazing in that movie.
She's amazing in most things, which makes it tough.
I think that's a common thread.
Yeah.
Like, she's great. That's probably one of her better performances. Not one of my favorite movies, so.
Which I think is where we were both kind of treading on this list is, you know, we generally like to put the movies that you get nominated for an Oscar for. Instead, I've got Teaching Mrs. Tingle and Monsters U.
I had Arthur. I let off with Arthur.
Right. But, next. Sorry, Dame Helen. We appreciate your career. And we really like some of your movies. Excalibur's
awesome. I love
Calendar
Girls. Yeah.
Next, I love my Calendar Girls.
Next week, speaking of love, it is Valentine's Day.
It's in the air.
And Miss Steele and Mr. Gray tie the knot. They tie something.
Spoiler alert.
They tie the not literal knot. When they get married?
Yeah.
Don't they tie knots in BDSM?
They literally tie knots when they bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
bondage.
Yeah.
The figurative knot.
Metaphorical knot is tied.
Yeah.
And Christian Grey is metaphorically whipped as they get married. So for next week, to celebrate love, we are doing our favorite wedding movies.
Because I couldn't get Dave to watch one of the 50 Shades movies.
I actually said, let's watch it. And then I realized you'd already seen them. And I thought,
yes.
Well, that's no fun. Like, I thought it'd be fun if we both watched it for the first time. Ryan's into that stuff. So he ruined it. Maybe next Valentine's Day we'll do a trilogy episode.
Watch all three of them? Oh, I can't.
Straight through.
Nope, won't do it. I'll quit before then.
Nope. But until next week.
Keep it up.